I was a little jumping the gun this morning, I think. They might have had someone to introduce me, but I'll introduce myself. I have no clue. I'm just so excited. My name's Justin Moore. I used to be the youth minister here for almost 6 years. And so there's a lot of faces in here that I recognize. There's a lot of people that I know and love dearly. And there's a lot of you that are new faces, some that have grown up quite a bit. As I look over in the teen section, that we're all like little kids, like my own children's age. And so it's been amazing to be with y'all over the past several months. We've had some family issues that have had us up here on Sunday mornings. And it's been great to feel comfortable to come into this church building and to feel like this is home. And speaking of, we're going to get into some things like as if we are good friends. I'm going to talk to you as such. We're going to spend some time today in Mark chapter 4, so you can go ahead and open your Bibles to that. And we're going to spend some time about 20 verses today. And as we do that, let's pray and get started. God, we want to ask right now that you would just crack open our hearts so our lives will forever be different. We love you, God, and it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. One of my friends was telling a story about a trip that he had to India. And he was going to see some of the congregations that his church was overseeing there. And he went into Calcutta, which a lot of you might know very well as the place that Mother Teresa did a lot of her work. And if you don't know who Mother Teresa is, you can Google her and see a lot of the great works that she did in her lifetime. And since they were staying a block away from the convent where she used to reside, a group of them went to see where she used to stay, what the daily routine that she used to go through. And he was kind of, there was this sobering moment when he walked into her room, which was the smallest room in the convent by choice, and it was right above the kitchen. She chose it on purpose because the heat that it would receive. There's this small room, this small space. I got a quick picture that you can look at. And this picture doesn't really do it justice, as this is what it is now. When she was there, up until the time that she was 70 years old, there was no bed in there. It was just a mat on the floor. And she wanted to be constantly reminded, even in her brittle body, of the people that she was serving in Calcutta and what God had called her to. And he said that he was sitting in this, or standing in this room with other people, and just feeling the Spirit of God in this place, knowing how many times the people of those of that country, of that city, had been prayed over. And he was just awestruck, and then just had a momentary wake-up call that God was speaking into his heart, saying, you know what? Mother Teresa was not extraordinary. She was ordinary. There was nothing about Mother Teresa that was extraordinary. She was an ordinary person. But this is what happens when one person will fully yield their life to the message of Christ and His kingdom. We have a tendency, whether we're in Marietta, Georgia, or whether we're in Manchester, Tennessee, to dilute and water down the message of God. That even as we worship in places like this, we worship a crucified and resurrected Christ where the sick, where Jesus lived among the homeless, where he was a nomad, and he served the poor, he healed the sick, he preached the message of the kingdom. And, you know, the great thing is we can worship with him and sing with him. We can praise, you know, his name. And then we can walk out these doors today and live lives that look nothing like him. As you heard the story of Mother Teresa, I thought, you know, as I was listening to that, I thought that it would, you know, take what would happen if us here in Forest Mill would take the invitation of Jesus seriously. What would happen to this community? You know, what would it mean for you? What would it mean for your family? What would it mean for Manchester? What if we stood before the Lord with lives as blank pages and we said, you know what, God, you write whatever story from my life that you want to write with these pages. Wherever you send me, I'll go. into singing or worship, whatever. Wherever you send me, I will go. God, you just write this story. Whatever you say, I will do, because we know that when God leaves his mark in our lives, then we are always a blessing to those that are around us. And this is what's happening in Mark 4. Jesus is standing in front of this huge crowd of people, and they keep coming. They keep hearing the sermons. They've heard the miracles. But one of the most stunning things about the book of Mark is, despite the fact these people keep sitting and hearing the message of Jesus, some that have been healed by Jesus, there are still so many people who are missing out on the joy right in front of them. You know, and Jesus is sitting here today, and through his message is saying, you know what, there's more for your life than you know. I've got so much more for you. I've got so much more in store for you if you'll only be a part of what I'm doing. Mark 4, you can read along with me, said, again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and he sat in it out on the lake. And while the people were along the shores and the water edge, he taught them many things by parables. And in his teaching, he said, listen. Listen. He said, let's pay attention. These are not my words. These are the words of God. He's saying, you know, put down the cell phone for a minute. He set aside the kids, set aside the job, set aside everything that's going on in your life, all the worries that you have, and God has a word for you right now. If you only hear it. If you only hear it, you will be changed. There are these moments that I have with my wife. This is confession time. There's these moments that I have with my wife, and I'm in the kitchen, and she's talking to me, and I'm doing something else at the time. But I'm, you know, she goes, Justin, are you listening to me? A little head bob in there too. And I'm like, yeah, yes. Yes, I'm listening. No, Justin, are you listening to me? Yes, I'm listening. Okay, what did I just say? I mean, Jesus loves you. I don't know. And it's like this genetic condition that we as men have that all of us suffer from. You know, we are good at hearing without really hearing anything. And Jesus knows that some of us have master's degrees in coming to church, hearing the sermons, without truly hearing what God is trying to say to us right now. And he's saying, stop. I want you to listen. You know, after getting the crowd's attention, Jesus goes on to tell them this bizarre story. I paid more attention to this as I've been focusing on this sermon. That this story is a little bit weird to me. And Jesus is telling this story to a bunch of farmers. And I just need a show of hands. How many of you grew up on farms, are farmers right now? There's not many. Even in Manchester, Tennessee, there's not many of you that have grown up on a farm and know what that life is. But the people that Jesus is talking to, this is primarily the people that he is speaking to. And so we have to right now ask his son to give us a little bit of imagination as we go through this, that we can understand what they're trying to say. And he says, continuing in Scripture, he says, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on a rocky place, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, it grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, and some 100 times. Then Jesus said, whoever has ears, let him hear. And we've got a lot of kids in here. We're going to do something cheesy. Hang with me. Hang with me. Jesus is saying, he said, this is kind of a comical thing. He says, you know, Jesus, I don't know if you know, was kind of humorous in his parables to people. And he said, you know, I need y'all to play along, so we're going to try this. If you have ears, children, if you have ears, grab your ears. And growing up, you know, we hear this story, and this story is kind of strange to us. But Jesus is saying, anyone who has ears, and you know in this whole crowd, there's probably that one guy who didn't have ears. And Jesus is like, it's all right, I'll fix it, I can take care of that, I'll heal it. And so he goes on, he says, anyone who has ears, let them hear. And Jesus starts off this message. So who is this message for? If you are alive, if you have ears, if you can hear, this is for you. And so he goes on, he tells this, it's not in bullet points or a theory. He tells it through a story, because in the midst of a story, you will find yourself in this story and you'll begin to understand what God is trying to do. And there's this farmer that goes out like a crazy man, and he starts slinging this seed in abundance and everywhere. And you know what? I am not a farmer, but I did grow up planting enough gardens in our household. When I read through this story several times, you know, I thought it was strange in how this farmer, this sower, would take care of things. Because growing up in my household, we had, you know, the garden that we would build in the backyard, which we would plow up, and this would be this plot of land, and we would methodically, purposefully place seeds in rows. You would dig a little hole, you put the seed in there, you cover it up. Afterwards, you water it. There was a purpose in the planting. There was a method to the planting of these seeds. And so I try to imagine how long it would take in my younger days, when we were planting this garden, if I took this bag of seed that Randy Moore told me to be very careful with and just started throwing it. Randy's my dad, by the way. And just started throwing the seed everywhere. Not on plowed land, just in the grass in the backyard. And I give it about 10 or 15 seconds before I'll smack it in the back of the head. What are you doing? Because planting, there's a method to it. There's a method to it. And as I read the story, I thought that the farmer was crazy. And this is amateur farming at its finest. This is JV farming. This is not what a farmer should do. And when Jesus is telling this story to a bunch of farmers, they would have thought that this farmer was the worst. Just throwing seed everywhere. And Jesus says, I want you to understand who this farmer represents. Verse 14 says, the farmer, Jesus, sows the word. Felt a little awkward for calling Jesus crazy. But this has been the picture of Christ over and over again in the Gospel of Mark. He is throwing indiscriminately, generously, and almost recklessly the message of grace and love of God to anyone who would listen. To the prostitutes, to the tax collectors, the Pharisees, the sinners, in the synagogues, on the street corners, in houses, and at a table where he is eating food, he delivered this unbelievable news. And the picture that we get of Jesus to this point is that Jesus is this crazy farmer with this bag of seed, and he is spreading it everywhere he goes. And Jesus says, there is this generous farmer, and he's throwing this unbelievable seed. This unbelievably powerful seed. And in the farming world during Jesus' days, if you had a really good return on your crop, you would harvest about 3 times more than what you had put out. If it was a miraculous year, you would get up to 7 times. And so as people are listening to this, you know, we go back to verse 8. If you want to look back at verse 8. What does Jesus promise to those who receive the message of Christ and the kingdom? He says, we're not talking about threefold. We're not talking about sevenfold. We're talking 30, 60, 100-fold. And this thing would blow these men and women's minds as Jesus is talking about it. This message that Jesus is telling this group of farmers tells them that this harvest that they can expect, and these guys and gals were just taking a collective gasp. You know, what does he mean? 30, 60, 100. What kind of seed is he selling? What kind of seed is he selling? It's like showing up church to a minimum wage job. And many of us have had these jobs where you can work an 8-hour shift and maybe expect to take home $48 from that shift. Maybe. And you go home depressed because you know that, you know, you can't stop at McDonald's because you just spent half your money. That all this money that you have made is just really not that much. And imagine coming into your job that day. Next day of work, your boss tells you, you know what? Instead of your take-home today being $48, we're going to make it $4,800. And you're like, okay, how quick can it? I mean, anything special I need to do? Nope, do your same job, $4,800. Can I get a pay advance on that, or what do I need to do? $4,800, you do your same job today. And you would be confused. You would start asking questions. You wouldn't understand about what this guy is talking about. And Jesus shows up and says, I want to show you what God wants to do in your life. And it's not a slight behavior modification. It's this: the glory of God wants to go off in your heart, in the soul of your heart, like an atomic bomb. So we have to say, what is this seed? What is this seed? Going back to verse 14, we see that the farmer sows the word of God. And if we flip over and we're reading in Matthew 13, chapter 13, it talks about this seed being the message of Christ and his kingdom. And here's what Jesus is saying. Do you want your life to matter? Do you want your life to count? Do you want God to do something not only in you, but through you? If you want this harvest, then you need to take this good seed, which is the message of Christ and the declaration of what God has done, what he is doing, and what he is going to do, so that you can stand before Christ and you can serve this world, which will change everything. Taking this message, taking this seed, will change everything. And the message of the gospel is that Jesus has lived a life that you could never live, that he has died the death that we were supposed to die, and he has risen from the grave, so that every step that you and I take today, every step that we get to live is in post-resurrection. And he gets to live the life, we get to live the life with God right here, right now, in ways that we can't even imagine. So, what is he talking about? You can imagine the people hearing this message in the crowd and them saying, you know what, man, this sounds like a really cool story. I like this story. I like it. But how does this happen? The next part of the story, we're going to look at something hard. Jesus looks out in the crowd and he says that the farmer is generous and good. The seed is life-changing and powerful. But you can see the crowd start saying, you know what? But why do our lives still look so ordinary? Why do our lives still look so ordinary? And Jesus says that the farmer is good. The seed is powerful. And this is the reason that so many of us will go to church our whole lives and hear lots of sermons and leave completely unchanged. And he begins to describe the variable that all of us have to wrestle with. And Jesus is saying, the farmer is good. He is spreading the seed everywhere. The seed, the gospel message, has the ability to change the very fabric of our lives. The farmer is good. The seed is powerful, but there is this variable. There's this thing that can get in the way. And the variable is the soil of the human heart. The soil in our hearts. And that is why some of you will walk out today with a new mission. You will approach your job differently. You will love your family differently. You will see your schools differently. And some of you will hear the word of God today, and you will walk out of here and have a radical life change. But some of you will hear the word of God today and will walk out and continue to live a life unchanged, immoral, that your Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays, Thursday, Friday, come back here on Saturday, and you're still unchanged. Nothing has changed from week to week. And Jesus looks at this group of people and he says, I want you to understand why it is that God is having his way with some of you, and some of you still feel like you're unchanged. And many of us in this room can feel that. Where we come in here week to week because of what we've done all of our lives, and we still don't hear the voice of God. Jesus looks at this group of people and he says, I want you to understand this. I want you to understand. And disciples, as usual, are confused. What does this mean? What does this mean? So in verse 13, he said, then Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? My son Eli, ladies and gentlemen. The farmer sows the word. Some people are like the seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes the word that has been sown in them away. And Jesus explains why some of us have spent our entire lives and still have not experienced life change. Because your hearts before the Lord are hard soil like a path. For some of you, it is not that Jesus is not generous or that his message is not life-changing and powerful. It's that some of us come, when we come to Christ, when we come here to this church or any other church, our hearts and our ears and our lives are shut off before the sermon was even spoken. And we all have these moments. And I'm going to think outside of the spiritual realm for a minute. Again, a little bit of confession time. For me, I am hard-hearted with door-to-door salesmen. Some of y'all can relate to this. If you're a door-to-door salesperson, I'm sorry. Don't come to my house. And so for me, like when these people show up at my house, in Marietta, we have quite a few that come through our neighborhood. It's never when I hear the doorbell ring, am I anticipating what they've brought. It's not like, oh, I wonder what's here today. And so let me get my checkbook out. And let me, you know, there's never this anticipation of great things to come. It's usually I try to hide out. You know, if the window blinds are up and they've seen me and I know I have to go out there, it's like I will walk out there to them and try to greet them in a nice way. I want to love it, be loving to them because I love these people. I just don't like what they're selling. And I try to show them in a loving way. You know, thank you so much, but I just don't want what you have. And some of you can relate to that. Some of you have things in your life when you see these people or you see these things or these things in your life when someone starts talking about a certain topic, you immediately say, no, I can't talk about that. I don't even want to hear that. And some of you have come here this morning, and the message of Jesus sounds like total garbage. And you know, man, people who think like y'all are foolish for even believing this. Maybe you're here, and your friends don't even know, you know, that you've been brought along, or your parents have brought you here, or you're trying to date someone that's here, and you're here for a purpose, but they have no clue that you really think what's going on in here is just total garbage. Or maybe you've been here your entire life. And because of how people will perceive you, if you leave this church, in this community, you stay. But you have always felt like what is being said up here is not for you. Before Jesus can even say a word, you've decided what he is saying is not even worth it. The soul of your heart is like a path, and the seed does not go in. Verse 16. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Jesus says, you're not like the path shut off from God You are receptive and you're open to God, but the soul of your heart is not deep enough to sustain the work that God is trying to do in you. You know, you get really excited and passionate about what the Lord is doing in your life. And for some of you, you have these moments where you've gotten so excited about what Christ is doing. And you go and you sign up for like every small group that you can be a part of. You signed up for like 10 small groups. Two of them are Beth Moore studies. And you didn't know that those are just for women. And so you kind of are embarrassed, but you're still going for it. You're still like, yeah, this is great. And you're out there serving. You're doing things. You're here on Wednesdays and Sundays. But the moment that it truly starts to cost you something, you start rethinking what you're doing. Have you ever jumped on board about something and felt so good about it at that moment, but the moment you're stretched, you're done? The moment that it started to cost you something, you know what? I'm done. I ran my first 5K about 9 years ago. It's not recently. About 9 years ago with Andy Eskew. Yes, he conned me. And so I ran this 5K with Andy, and we're started off at the rec center, and we're running up to the old middle school, and we get around lapping the middle school, and we're starting downhill, and I get this burst of energy. And that burst of energy lasted all of 30 seconds, and I was ready to die. I was like, what did you do to me? You know, I'm like, I'm sitting there trying to make it through and trying to make it through. And so, you know, it had been a long enough time between that run. And about a couple years ago, one of my friends, it's one of me and Tucker's good friends, that he calls me and he says, you know what? I've got this trip I'm planning to California, to Disneyland. And there's this marathon that we're going to run in. And at first, I was like, did he call the right Justin? And I said, you know it's Justin Moore, right? It's Justin Moore. He's like, yeah. So we're going to run this marathon. And he starts pumping me up about it. He said, we're going to get there early, and we're going to do these events. And, you know, then afterwards, we're going to do these events. And I got so excited about all these events that were happening before and after. You know, I'm ready to sign up. I'm counting the costs. I'm, like, talking to Amanda about the money situation. It was going to cost this, this, this. And then I realized, I've got to run. I've actually got to run. And so what was so tempting in the beginning, so like immediately sounded no good. And have you ever said, I'm all in. I'm all in. Well, it's going to cost you this. I'm all out. Count me out of that. Nope. Mm-mm. And this is how so many have responded to Christ in their life. Jesus is talking to this group of farmers in the region of the Middle East called Galilee, and the soil was known to being full of limestone, just like here in Tennessee. And the farmers would plow their fields, plant their crops, and when the harvest would come, they would look around and notice some of the barren areas. And they would see those areas and immediately get the plows out, and they would start cleaning up, replowing, going deeper, and starting to dig out that limestone with pickaxes, with shovels, whatever it would take to get rid of that, because they knew they had to get deeper. They would find the limestone, they would pull it out, because they realized that the future fruitfulness was conditional on digging deeper. Their future fruitfulness was conditional on digging deeper. And there are things, ladies and gentlemen, that Christ wants to do in us, but some of us are just unwilling to let Him dig deeper. You know, Jesus, I want Your love, but I don't want You to have to deal with my past wounds. You know, Jesus, I want Your love, but I don't want to be uncomfortable. And that is why some of us hear the words of God and leave unchanged. We have shallow soil, and this is the rhythm of our lives. We are excited, but we're not willing to allow God to go deeper. You know, I've dealt with some of this in my own life, where I had to pray to Jesus, I had to pray to God to remove the limestone of bitterness and anger that was in my life, to root out and to go deeper so that my life could begin to produce fruit. And some of you are like the hard soil. Some of you are like the shallow soil. In verse 18. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things come in and choke out the word, making it unfruitful. And Jesus says, for some of you, it is not that your soil is hard. It is not that your soil is too shallow. It is that you have decided to share your soil with other things. And there is this genuine love in you for Jesus, for His kingdom, for His gospel, and for what God wants to do in you. But there are fears and worries in your life that keep you from leaning fully into the message of Christ. And the reality is that when we try to get this message of Jesus and His kingdom to cohabitate with the American dream, when we try to get the message of Jesus to cohabitate with our comfort, the gospel work within you is almost always choked out and begins to die. And it's predictable. As long as we try to get the message of Jesus to hold hands with the desire of self-preservation and comfort, the story will always end badly. You become a church person. So week after week after week, we hear the message of Jesus, but never experience His fruitfulness and works within us. And there's this moment where we all face the reality where the trivial pursuits of our hearts will be exposed for what they are. If you have lots of money, great. But is that what rules your life? Are you successful and powerful? Well, great. But is that what controls your life? And those things are not bad, but they cannot cohabitate at the same depth, at the same power, at the same richness as the message of Christ and His kingdom. Because as long as they do, they will rob you of what God wants to do through you. Jesus has this great adventure plan for us, church. But it's being choked out because we start thinking, if I do this, how will I take care of my kids? And Jesus says in Matthew 6, that's how pagan people think. That's how non-Christian people think. Non-Christians are people who worry about their food, their clothes, their house, not children of the King. Your Father knows you. Your Father knows you. He knows the things that you need. Seek first Christ and His kingdom and what? Seek first Christ and His kingdom and what? All will be given to you. All will be given to you. All that stuff will be given to you. You do not have anything to worry about. And Jesus has given us permission to lean ourselves fully with total abandonment into the craziness of this message in Christ and His kingdom. You know, there's this fruit that is born that can change you. It can not only just change you, but it can also change your family. And it's not just going to change your family, but it can change your neighborhood. There's this ripple effect that one day, just like Mother Teresa, there may be a group of tourists standing in your bedroom asking, how did God do this through them? How did God do this through them? And the seed hit the good soil, and the kingdom of God advanced. So what about your soil? What about your soil? If you're like me, your heart is full of all sorts of soil. You know, there's part of my life and part of my lives that I go through different phases where part of my life is hard, part of it is my soul is shallow, part of my soul is in my heart is full of thorns, and part of my heart is good. So we have to ask, what is the condition of our heart today? You know, Jesus knew that the most important battles that we would face in the kingdom of God would not be the battles on foreign soil. They would not be the battles against political parties. The battles that we would face in our lives would be the soul of our own hearts. The problem is never out there. The problem is in here. And Jesus stood before this crowd. The farmer is good. The seed is powerful. Have you received it? Has it taken root? And we need to, before we walk out of here tonight, have a clear view of the gospel. If we don't, if we walk out of here depressed, thinking, you know, I'm the hard soil. I guess I'm the hard soil. And we walk out here depressed. And did you notice in this teaching, when you read back through it, did you notice that Jesus never tells the soil to fix itself? There's never in a point where it looks at the hard soil and says, go rent a tiller. There's never a point where the soil fixes itself. Who cares for the soil? The farmer. The farmer is good. Whatever the condition the soil is in, come to the farmer. Whatever the condition of your soul and your heart, come to the farmer. Come to Jesus. Jesus, help me to assess and understand. Break up the hard soil. Break up the hard rock. Take out the thorn and do what you can. And this is the beauty of our worship and our times together. The beauty of communion is we keep throwing ourselves before the good farmer who is throwing his powerful seed in abundance to us. And there is this power, church, when you believe. When you understand, and Jesus tells us this message, not only for self-evaluation before the Lord, but also for us to have confidence in Him. And when we start sharing this seed with other people, when we start sharing these powerful seeds with other people, it is not our job, church, to fix the soul of our friends' hearts, but it's for us to continue to share. You just keep throwing the good seed, and they meet the farmer, and everything changes. The gospel is the power of God for all who believe. Amen? And this is what is in your hand as you carry your Bible on a daily basis. Whether it's in your phone, whether you take it to work, the seed is good, the story is powerful. How is your soil? Pray with me, church. Father God, we ask for all of us in this room right now with different soils, God. Some that have had hard hearts, that our soul has never, we've never just come to you and said, God, do what you will with us. Break this up. Some of us are always excited about different things, but our excitement fades at a moment where it cost us. And God, some of us are trying to balance so many things to where we're realizing that our self-seeking nature cannot cohabitate with what you want for our lives. And God, we come to you right now as a church. We come to you right now and just ask, Lord, we ask for you to help us in every state that we're in right now. For us to receive the powerful message, God. For us to realize that we were called for more than the lives of ordinary lives. Because of what you give to us, because of your word, we can live extraordinary lives in your name. God, we love you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a one as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in, when Christ the mighty Maker died for man, the creature's sin. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can never repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Thank you, John.